podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
Hey, my friends, this is Chris. I'm talking to you tonight from the mobile studio, which is my father's Buick, because my truck is all in little tiny pieces on my father's driveway, so I'm borrowing his car. It's nice and quiet, though. It's a big old Buick. It's like something you'd read in a Stephanie Plum novel. So anyhow, running. Yeah, running. So I'm going to talk to you. I got a great show for you today. This is episode 34. I have Sarah from the Manchester City Marathon, which I've decided to run in, less than 2 weeks. But I've got some great stuff queued up. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing Steve Bourne from Hammer Nutrition, who's their big guy that goes to races and talks about Hammer Nutrition. So that's going to be very informative. Would have been cool. And then Thursday after that, I got something different but special. And if you want to Google this guy, you're going to love this. This guy's name is John, J-O-N, Gordon. And he wrote this book, which is one of my favorite little books. It's called The Energy Bus. And he's all about, like, positive energy and stuff. And so, hey, I'm going to talk to him because I think what we need right now in our running community is some positive energy. All right? So talking to Sarah today, Sarah is an amazing, amazing person that I spoke with. Just the amount of energy coming through that phone line, you got to belt yourself in when you listen to this interview because she's going 100 miles an hour and with some great stuff we talked about in this marathon. So we'll keep you informed on that. We're going to talk about some tips and got to be a great show. Let's get on with it. Thanks.
And now for the equipment check.
Okay, folks, for today's equipment check, I'm going to talk to you about something very useful for you marathoners. And this ties into the last episode I did where I interviewed Bart Yasso. I'm going to talk to you about my Yasso test that I did on myself today. And you guys who are beginning runners, or 5Kers or 10Kers, you know, just look into the future. Imagine yourself as the ghost of marathon's future, visiting your tired self. And think about what this you're going to do this when you get to your marathon. But you marathoners, this is going to be extremely useful. And basically what a Yasso test is the Yasso 800s. And basically what that says is that if you can do a series of 10 800-meter runs at your marathon time, which is not your marathon pace, your marathon goal time, then you are in the condition to run that marathon goal time. But conversely, you can flip it over and use it like I did today to figure out what my target marathon time should be. Because I'm in this situation, and I think a lot of you marathoners are, where you get close to the race and you really have no idea what kind of shape you're in. I mean, if you successfully make it through a program, you have some sort of idea, but you don't know, is it this, is it 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever, you're trying to narrow that down. So it's very useful to be able to test yourself. So I tested myself today because the situation I was in is I ran Boston in the spring, and I ran a 3:27, which was a decent time for me. It's qualifying time for me because I'm an old guy. And then I trained and ran for Mount Washington, which is a totally different type of training, but very difficult training, very strong conditioning. And then I trained and ran this 50-mile ultra, which, again, is great training, a lot of miles, a lot of hours on my feet, but a different type of training. So I didn't know, You know, it could have gone one either two ways. I could have been, because I've got all this great conditioning, you know, 26 miles is going to be a snap. Or it could go the other way where, because I've been training my body to run slow and to walk hills and that sort of thing, I'm going to have real difficulty trying to run at my goal marathon pace. So I went down and I said, okay, what would be if it was, and we always do this, right? As humans, it's human nature to always overestimate our abilities. So it's like if you ask somebody in my office, how long does it take to drive to Logan Airport? They'll tell you 20 minutes. But if you sampled 100 trips from my office to Logan Airport, the average will probably be around 40 minutes because of different things. Because human nature is always to take the best case. So I said to myself, well, you know, if indeed this ultra training has been really good for me and made me stronger, I can probably run a 320 marathon. So with the Yasso test, what that means is I went down to the treadmill, and I'd rather do it on the track, but I didn't have time. So I went down to the treadmill, and I dialed in an interval workout into the treadmill with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to do 800 meters. So a half a mile at 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And I dialed up 10 of those with a 2-minute rest in between and a 1-mile warm-up and a little bit of a warm-down. So if you bake all those numbers out, you end up with 5 miles worth of intervals. You end up with, and I did my cool-down, the 400 in between at a resting pace. So I did that in an 8-minute mile, which is a 2-minute quarter. So if you look at that, you're doing 9 of those, so 9 times a quarter is going to be just about, you know, somewhere in a range of another 2 miles, right? So if you look at the total workout, you're going to be somewhere in the 8 and 9 mile range. So it's a pretty difficult workout, but it'll tell you exactly what your conditioning is. I got halfway into that second interval, and I couldn't keep the pace. So I got off, and I dialed it down, and I did the second eight, I did the rest of them, the remaining 8 intervals at a 3:30 pace, meaning a just under a 7-minute mile, and I was able to sustain that. And I also dialed down my recovery to an 8:20 pace as opposed to an 8-minute pace, and so that seemed to work. So what I draw from this is that, yeah, I'm in about 3:30 marathon shape right now. So actually, I did lose some of my speed with all the ultra training. So it was very, very illuminating for me. And I just knew when I was on that 3:20 interval that my legs were hurting, I wasn't stretching out, I was feeling weak, my heart rate was way up, and I just knew that wasn't it. So it told me what I needed to know. So if I'm setting my bound now, I'll say, an out-of-the-box gift from God marathon on this hilly course, I'm going to run a 3:25. With an awful day, hot weather, bad body, I'm going to run a 3:40, all right? And if I dial it in and run my race, it's going to be a 3:30. So I know what I need to know. So I'm going to go anyhow and shoot for a 3:30 because that'll give me a qualifying time for the next 2 years at Boston. And that's it. When you're doing these marathon, these Yasso tests, you got to have done some speed work before at this pace or it's just going to feel not normal to you. So you got to warm into this. You got to know how to do speed work first. So anyhow, I know that was a long explanation, but I think that'll be invaluable to you. And you want to do this 2 to 3 weeks before your marathon, so right at the beginning of your taper or right before your taper is your last hard workout, and that'll be your test. All right? So, there you go, man. I hope that helps, and we'll see you out there.
And now for our featured interview.
Ah, we found you.
Ah, yeah, I know. We got lost. I called back in.
Did you? Oh, okay. Well, I think we're recording now, so.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, Sarah, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, and how are you doing?
You sound as busy as I am.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, you know, you got to love it, multitasking.
Exactly.
Types of lifestyle, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So you're one of those people with two last names, so did you just get out of the witness protection program, or?
Yes, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I got married last May, so I do have those kind of dual identity, though. I still use Sarah Hewitt for some of the race stuff, but legally I'm Sarah Norman, but I am okay. The same person.
So Sarah Norman, the race director.
Yes.
For the Manchester City Marathon.
Yes, and half marathon. It's a great, great race weekend. We're very excited to be in our second year.
Yeah, and Manchester, New Hampshire is a great city. It's a little city.
Yes. Yes. It's Manchester has a lot to offer, and it is great. It's nice that we can have a marathon here in New Hampshire. There are a couple of other ones, but they're more rural, and it's nice to be able to bring us a marathon like this to Manchester. So we were pretty excited.
Yep. So this is your second year, right?
Yes, it is.
So what prompted you guys to decide to have a marathon in the city of Manchester up there?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I used to work in the mayor's office, and about 3 years ago now, we were sitting there, and I've always been a runner, and he's kind of thinking to himself, he's like, you know, I want to bring something to Manchester. And I kind of figured that working in the mayor's office, this is the perfect time. I'd have the support of the city. I'm like, well, how about a marathon? He's like, yeah, well, let's do it. So he kind of gave me that extra push to kind of deliver this to the city. So I spent about, I don't know, 7 or 8 months kind of researching it, compiling a list of contacts, people who I could reach out to help put this race on. And then here we are today, 2 years later into our second year. So it was really just trying to give back to the community. Like I said, I was a runner for many years, and I still am. And just wanted to bring something to Manchester and kind of give back to the community and really bring a community event to our area. So that was kind of the reasoning behind it. Of course, then I didn't realize, I'm like, oh, I've run, you know, multiple marathons. I can put one on, no big problem. Didn't realize all of the details, and, you know, it's definitely more exhausting at the end of race day when you organize a race than running a marathon. That's my personal opinion anyways. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I've always said the race directors of our sport are the unsung heroes because of, you know, they just make everything possible, you know, for everybody else to participate. And people don't realize how much of a thankless job it is. Right,
really
you're responsible for everything.
Yeah,
everything that goes wrong, right?
It's true. I mean, unfortunately, last year, I mean, we were very lucky. Nothing, knock on wood, went wrong, and nothing will go wrong. Hopefully, this year. But I mean, for being a first year marathon, we had, you know, I'm fortunate to say that it was a great success. I mean, the spectators were phenomenal. All the runners were amazing. They really appreciated the race. We had great weather. All of our sponsors, of course, we couldn't do it without them. The city officials were great. I mean, it really came together nicely. And, of course, the ones who helped put the race on, all of our board members and committee members and volunteers as well. So we were very lucky that everyone just really pulled together and wanted to see the success of the marathon. So, it was a lot of fun last year.
So you work in the mayor's office. I went to school at UNH for one of my academic careers. And so you must know Johnny Stevens.
Yes, yeah, I do.
Yeah, Johnny Stevens and I lived in the dorm together. We were in the same class.
Oh, that's too funny.
What's he? He's like a running for Congress or something now? Or?
Yeah, yep. He was Health and Human Services, I believe. And I'm not sure if I'm around that field. I'm not sure exactly of his title, but now he's running for Congress. So.
Yeah. So, but the funny part is, even when we were like 18, we knew Johnny was going to be a congressman or something, right, or mayor
right.
or something. That was his. He was one of those few people you meet when you're 18-year-old that have a purpose, and that
right.
was his purpose. So it was kind of funny. So,
well,
but
he said
anyhow.
Great things.
But anyhow, so tell me about the course here. You know, I just signed up because I was looking for, you know, I ran an ultra back in the end of September, and so I figured I better use my conditioning for something.
Yeah. Good for you, and ultra. I can only hope to do that one day. But our course, you know, we changed it from last year, and as much of a pain it is to change and to certify a course, I'm really happy we did. I really liked our course last year, but the changes that we've made really, I think, just showcase Manchester that much more. So if you're familiar with Manchester, it's the first few miles are the same, about the first 5 miles, but this time we've added a loop around Doris Pond, which is really nice. So it's a little bit more, about less than a half a mile of a trail run, which is nice. We take out the Webster Street Hill and
okay.
Smith Road, which a lot of people, it was like a heartbreak hill, but times two. It was a pretty steep hill that we had in the half marathon course, or the first, it was at mile 9. And so we actually took that out this year, which is nice. And we're also running through St. Nate's College, which
yep.
is a nice addition as well. and then we run across a bridge, which is the hand across the Merrimack Bridge. It's a footbridge, and that's a nice too. It shows a nice skyline of Manchester, the Mill Yard, come around Fisher Cat Stadium. So it's nice. It's really nice. It's scenic. You really get to see each side of Manchester. So I think runners will really appreciate those small changes that we've done.
So I don't see an elevation map on the website. Should I be worried? Should I be worried that there's no elevation map?
That's not on there for a reason. No, I'm just kidding. I can actually say I can send that out. When they certified the courses here, for some reason they didn't add the elevation map, but I do have it. It's actually on mapsmyrun.com. You just have to be cautious because there's last year's map as well. But this year's map is on there. It's like you'll see the Manchester City Marathon, then the Half Marathon, and then Manchester City Marathon again. It's the third one.
Oh, okay.
So it's, if you ever want to go to mapmyrun.com, and I'll do my disclaimer. I've gotten a few emails back. On the course, or on the map on that, it says 26.5 miles. MapMyRun is a great, great website, but it's not 100% accurate when it comes to measuring. The
course, I found
only
that.
26.2.
I found that as well. I used that site a couple times for some local routes, and you know, I've been running long enough to know how long it is just by running it. You know,
right.
Looking at my watch, you know, I can say, okay, that's about 5.3 miles, and it would come back with wacky numbers. You know, it was off by like a half a mile. So
yeah, and so some people went on, they're like, I thought a marathon was 26.2. Why are you making us run longer? And it's like, no, I promise, it's a certified course. It's only 26.2. I won't make you run any further than what you have to. So. I just like to point out that disclaimer, and it is only the 26.2.
Yeah, that's metric miles. It'd be like the trail marathons I run, where the mileage is an estimate, because nobody ever measures them; they just run them.
Right.
So what you think it's less hillier than last year? Because some of the guys were telling me it was a hilly course last year.
You know, it is a hilly course. We're in Manchester, New England, so of course it's going to be hilly. But I don't think. I personally don't think it's that hilly. I mean, the first 3-4 miles is probably the worst of the whole course. But besides that, I mean, every time there's an uphill, there's a downhill.
Yep.
So that's a nice way to look at it, too. And plenty of people qualified for Boston last year. Plenty of people, you know, got their best PR. So, you know, I think if you do some hill training, you'll be okay. It's not, I think any way you look at it, a 26-mile race is going to be tough. And I think that, like I said, the hills add a little bit of variety to the course, and every time you go up a hill, you're bound to go down, so you kind of make up for that lost time. But it's not too bad. It really isn't, especially now that we took out that Webster and Smith Road hill. That was tough last year, and we took that away. So this year I think people will really appreciate that and not have to run that. So
good.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, What's the race weekend look like for me?
It's busy. It's a great, great weekend. Friday we kick off the Sports and Health Expo, which is wonderful, and that's presented by Anthem. And we have Greg Meyer, who will be coming, and Joanne Dow, Greg's not local anymore, but two celebrities coming, and they'll be able to meet runners and give them words of encouragement and just chit-chat with the runners on Friday. Saturday we have, again, the Sports Expo. We have a yoga demonstration, and Greg Meyer will also be doing a sports clinic. And then Saturday afternoon, we also have the Kids Marathon, which is a really nice piece as well. All kids, it's a free event, and actually I should mention, too, that the expo is free for all runners and individuals who just want to show. But the Kids Marathon, which is a neat program, too. We work with schools to get kids motivated and excited about running and fitness. So what they do is they log 1 mile at a time or half a mile at a time, whatever they feel comfortable doing, and then they complete their last mile of their marathon at the Fisher Cat Stadium and here in Manchester. They all receive a medal, and Joanne Dow will be there, and it's a really neat event for them, and they just are so excited about their accomplishment. So that's really a neat piece to see as well, and that's at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Which is sponsored, of course, by Hannaford. And then Sunday is our race weekend, and Fairpoint has been so gracious to step up to the plate and be our sponsor for that. And we have our race, our half marathon and marathon. WZID will be in the park, being live in the park, broadcasting for some entertainment. We have a soup cook-off, which is wonderful. We have about 6 or 7 local restaurants coming down to the park and able to provide sampling for all spectators, and then we'll crown one of them the Scoop champion.
Oh, that, and, I may be able to talk one of my daughters into crewing for me then if there's going to be free food.
Ah, there you go. Yep. So that was really fun last year. A lot of people liked that. And then this year we have, which is actually really nice. Last year we had like the fruit and the bagels and the breads and stuff for post-race food. But this year we actually catered out to what's called Castle Caterers, and they're having chili and soups and hot chocolate and coffee. So they're really doing a nice spread of food for us as well, for all the runners, for post-race food. We have some massage therapists coming as well. So yeah, it'll be a busy day in the park, but a lot of fun. So there's plenty to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of swag am I going to get in my bag?
Of course, you're going to get a Keckwick long-sleeve Keckwick shirt, which is really nice. CMC, I believe, is providing a really nice towel as well. We have some water bottles, some foods. What else do we have in there? Some neat things. I mean, we're hoping to add more and more each year, but this year we added, like, a water bottle. I mean, there's some buttons and, you know, some... I think there's some chapstick going in, too. Yeah, so, I mean, but most of the stuff is, you know, some neat stuff. I really like the towel. It's a nice quality. The shirt's great. The water bottle. Everyone has, you know, a million water bottles, but these are a nice quality, so.
Yeah, everyone's got a million leaky water bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
They put in their bag, and it makes all their stuff wet.
Yeah, exactly. So these are a nice quality, so they shouldn't do that. And next year, what I'm actually really excited to mention as well, we're hoping to be... green certified, so that's something that we're aiming to be for next year. So all of our will be, you know, everything will be recycled, and we are recycling, of course, this year, but next year we hope to be 100% green.
Yeah, I think that's going to become very important, almost a you know, the price of entry into putting on an event.
Right. I think it'll be kind of a standard, an expectation. So that's something that we're working for, and
I'll tell you a story. I worked a water stop this past weekend at a local marathon, and they had boxes of, the sports energy things, the goo type.
Oh, right.
Right? And, man, what a mess that made.
I know.
You know, because people just saw them and took them without thinking about whether they needed them or not, so they drop the full ones, they get stepped on, or they tear off the little tabs, and the little tabs are, you know, blowing all over the place, so... made a real big mess. So if you're going to give out goo, do it late in the race.
Yeah, I know. We do give out goo twice in the course, once in the half and once in the full. But one thing I'll say, too, is that we definitely left it probably cleaner than what than when we got there last year. Our people who worked the water stops were wonderful, picking up all of the last trash and recycling what they could. So we do try to be... respectful. We are very respectful of the city and people's property, since it is, you know, we are running through residents and businesses and stuff. We don't want to make a nuisance of ourselves, and we want people to be excited that we're in Manchester. So we definitely made sure that everything was cleaned up when we left, as best as we could. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think that's true for most water stops. I know it was the one that we run, you know, the quarter mile before and the quarter mile after are cleaned up way better than they were than we started, you know, because pulling all the beer cans and everything else out of the weeds with the water cups. So it's actually a little road cleanup crew you get.
Yeah.
A bonus. So what's the cause? What's the charities here? What are we supporting with our race?
Proceeds go to the Mental Health Center of Greater Manchester. Last year we were very fortunate with the success of the race that we actually presented them with a check for $15,000. And what's neat about this, people think of mental health sometimes, and they, you know, only think of, you know, kind of like the worst case scenarios. But, you know, in a lot of the research that I've done with especially runners, I mean, there's so many people who are now elite, famous runners who suffered from mental illness, whether it's, you know, alcohol abuse or drug abuse, and who've really turned their life around, and their new passion is running. One thing that I hope that we can start as we grow, maybe year five or six, is to do more, I don't want to say more charity work, but more research with our marathon association, and try to have running as part of their rehabilitation program for people who are, you know, suffering from mental illness, whether it's, you know, like I said, the drug or alcohol or other, any other causes. So that's what the proceeds benefit. And then we also started this year a charity partner program. So we're fortunate to pair up with Make-A-Wish, Easter Seals, and American Cancer Society, who have come on board, and they're doing their own fundraising by running in our events. So even though we're not generating the funds specifically for them, they're using our events to fundraise. And last year, I believe Easter Seals raised almost $10,000 by running in our race. So
they're organizing like team and trainings for that.
Exactly, things similar to that extent. So that's a new piece that we added on this year. We just try to make it more formal, because last year I think a couple of different charities tried to do this, and this year we just work with them more, and we have them on active.com so people can donate online, and we just try to make it more of a package for them so it's easier. Yeah, so it's a neat piece.
Good stuff. So Joanne Dow, for anybody who doesn't know, is the Olympic race walker from the Olympics this year. And I guess, Sarah, I'm going to have to call you the Olympic race talker, because you're a very rapid speaker.
I know.
Some of my listeners in foreign countries and maybe south of the Mason-Dixon line may have trouble keeping up with you. But that's
okay.
Sorry. I won't have to edit out those parts where people stop to breathe.
I know. That was one thing my mother always told me. Slow down when you speak. And it's just my nature. I'm always going a million miles a minute, and my speaking reflects that as well. So I apologize in advance.
I have to tell you, it's a perfect personality to be a race director, though.
I can't help it. I do. I just talk too fast, and I really have to slow myself down, so I do apologize.
Because the people who are successful at that are the people who can keep going for, you know, 10, 12 hours at a time with that energy level. Like Dave McGillivray and, you know, Bart Yasso and those guys.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely, I can't emphasize enough. I just remember, well, of course, last year I planned the race. I was fully 9 months pregnant. My due date was 2 days after the race. So, I mean, it was kind of like when it rains, it pours. Everyone was like, please do not go on the marathon day. I was so nervous that I was going to go, and I ended up getting induced and was a week late. But,
fully 9 months
pregnant. No, it was my second. I had a daughter, and then Benjamin, my son, was born November 14th, so 10 days after the race. And it was exhausting.
Great.
So exhausting. But
I don't get to talk to a lot of women in the sport. I don't know whether it's because there just aren't a lot of women in the sport or that I just don't know them, but it's refreshing to talk to a woman in sport, and plus a woman who's doing something, you know, who's a runner and putting on an event. I think that's great.
Yeah, it is. It was actually funny. One of the aldermen a couple of months, maybe like 2 months ago in Manchester, asked me, I bet your board is made up of mostly men. I kind of looked at him like, you know what? It's actually mostly women who are, there's a pretty, it's about six women to four men. And, you know, the women that are, everyone that's on our committee are just fabulous. They're fantastic. They're all motivated, great, great people. But it's funny, yeah, there's definitely more men, I think, in the race directing field. You know, there's definitely a lot of women runners, but those who put on the race and who are kind of behind the scenes, like you said, are definitely more men. But that's okay. Someone needs to break the trend. So here I am.
Yeah, it's not the glass ceiling. It'll be the Coolmax ceiling.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yes, exactly.
So you're a runner? Are you a marathoner?
I am. I just actually did my first marathon after my son was born. I ran the Hartford Marathon.
Oh, that was last weekend, right?
2 weekends ago. It was Columbus Day weekend. It was the 11th, I think. I should know this. It was October 11th. It was that Saturday. And I ran Boston back in 2006, and then I did the Bay State Marathon earlier 2006. Or maybe it was 2005. So I've done three, and then I've done, you know, many different halves and, of course, like 5Ks and stuff like that. So it's tough doing both, I have to say, to plan the race and because a lot of marathons are in the fall. So for me, I mean, this takes up so much time, and it's not my job. My job is I work in the health department for the city, and I have my full 8-to-5 job, and then I do this at night. So it's kind of you know, and then I have my kids, and so organizing the race definitely takes up a lot of my time.
Well, God bless you, and let me be the first to, as a participant, to thank you for all the time you're putting in to make this a successful event.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad. There's nothing better than looking at it race day and just saying, like, wow, this has all come together. So I'm glad that we've been able to pull us off and offer what I think is a wonderful race for Manchester. So thank you for running, and thank you for participating.
Yeah, so, I mean, was it a big challenge coming back from your pregnancy and getting on to the marathon again?
Not too bad. I ran up until, like, 7.5 months, and then the last month to 6 weeks, I was too consumed with organizing the race, so I really couldn't continue running. Of course, I was just so tired being,
right,
you know, 8 months pregnant. But I started running back 2 weeks after my son was born and just kind of built up to it. And I mean, it was definitely the longer runs were a challenge to work back up to, you know, like 18, 20 miles. But since I ran pretty much my whole pregnancy, then I started right back up, it wasn't too difficult. It was just kind of getting into that, making it a commitment again, you know, doing the diaper changing and midnight feedings to then getting up at 5 to go running. It was just kind of figuring out that balance now that I have a newborn, but I figured it out, and here we are.
So the balance is you basically don't sleep, right?
Exactly. I figured if I eliminated sleeping 100%, then I can do all I need to do.
Did you find that being a marathoner helped with the pregnancy at all, or
I think so.
In better shape?
I think the epidural is what helped with the pregnancy for the delivery. But being in, you know, in good health helps with everything overall. I mean, there's no downside to being in good health, of course. So it definitely made my recovery that much easier. It made my pregnancy easier. Of course, you're tired when you're pregnant, but having that extra energy from being fit and being active definitely helped out. So, I mean, anybody, I strongly encourage, even if it's not running, walking or any type of activity throughout your pregnancy just adds that much more value.
All right. Well, I'll let you go and get on with your work week here. But when I come up for race weekend, I'll search you out. You'll be followed by a bunch of people with walkie-talkies and look very stressed, but I'll seek you out, and I'll shake your hand, okay?
Yes, please do. Please look out for me. You'll be seeing me running around crazy, talking really fast, so you can't miss me.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
All right, there we are. Time the Boy Scout Bridge here with Buddy. Beautiful day. About, I don't know, 50 degrees. A lot of the leaves are down now, so it's a lot brighter in the woods. But the leaves are like 4 or 5 inches deep on the forest floor, so you got to be careful in the trails. It's hard to see where you're stepping. You twist an ankle. So anyhow, my tip for you today is with this, this sort of uncertain economic times and all the doom and gloom. You know, I think what we should do is we should choose to run some road races. And I haven't run a whole lot of road races lately, but I'm going to run more. And I'm going to look at the charities that those road races go to. And I'm going to see where my money's going and see if I can make a direct contribution to things that are important to me, things that are important to other people, and step up, as it were, to help people out. So that's my tip, you know. Give your $25 to something you care about, and we'll see you out there.
Okay, folks, that's it. Episode 34 in the can. I really enjoyed talking with Sarah. And like I said, next week I'm going to call on Tuesday with the guy from Hammer Nutrition. Should be very informative. And I got a call on Thursday with John Gordon from the Energy Bus, which I'm very excited about. So things keep rolling along for the Run, Run, Live podcast. Send me some comments. Send me some emails. I love it. And I need it. I need to know you're out there. So give me a shout. Hope everything goes well with you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, and we will, as always, see you out there. Bye. Okay, today's music to end the show is from a band called George Fletcher's Bourbon Renewal. See, it's a play on words there. Bourbon, like urban. And it's a blues song. It's pretty cool. I like it. It's called I Ain't Lyin', and it's the live version. And Well, here it comes. Have a great time. for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.